Begin this evening worship service with the singing of hymn number 17. Hymn number 17. O love beyond conception great, that formed the vast stupendous plan, where all divine perfections meet to reconcile rebellious man. Hymn number 17. Out of God's most holy word you can find in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing and grant us a spirit of true prayer. O gracious, merciful, eternal God, O thou Lord art everlasting, O thou knowest no time, for thou hast no beginning, and thou hast no ending. Thou art that same eternal now, O that eternal everlasting God, O mighty in power, wise in all thy ways, and yet a loving God, O thou Lord art a forbearing and patient God. Lord, we do bow before thy holy presence, thy sacred presence tonight at the throne of grace. And plead him who does sit on the mercy seat. O thy beloved eternal Son, Jesus Christ, thy eternal delight, thy eternal companion. O gracious Heavenly Father, O do remember us as poor sinners tonight. For we have nothing to plead on our own behalf but our sinfulness, on our emptiness and our wretchedness. Lord, we do come to plead for mercy. Oh, for a rich crumb of grace, for the feeding of our poor, starving souls, for the encouragement of the downcast, for the lifting up of the poor off the dunghill. Lord, we pray for faith that we may see Jesus, as one did say of old. We pray, Lord, for a sight of yon lovely man. We pray, Lord, for a melting of our hearts, and that precious love of God, that and that peace that passes all understanding. Oh, gracious God, to remember us, we are carnal. Come to confess, Lord, our carnality, our foolishness, our earthly mindedness. And we pray, Lord, that we might be given a season, an hour of separation, and a lifting up on high to heaven. Lord, we do pray that thou might make us aliens, pilgrims and strangers upon this wilderness, and that thou, Lord, might plant our feet upon that narrow way, that way of faith, in which all thy children have trod upon, the path lined with blood, the path of our beloved Savior, the path of salvation, the path wherein we shall not fail, the path wherein thou dost lead, the guide, and direct thy people. O thou light of the world, do direct in our feet this night upon that path of Christ. Lord, do bring us with thy living family. Do bring us amongst the people of God. Do grant us, Lord, the knowledge of Christ our Savior, the forgiveness of our many sins, the wondrous truth of Christ's death, all the precious gifts thou, O Heavenly Father, hast to give. O Lord, open our mouths wide this night. Bring us out of that heart that oft pant after the water brooks, that we might pant after the river, the streams, whereof make glad the city of God. And Lord, do give us eyes, spiritual eyes, to see this what a poor perishing world that soon fades away, and we too, as but grass, and the beauty of the grass that withers away upon the, when the Spirit of the Lord doth blow upon it. Lord, do grant us the preparations of our soul, and grant that we might seek that one thing needful even now, thy righteousness and thy kingdom. O Heavenly Father, bind thy people together in that unity of thy blessed and Holy Spirit, and to grant each one to feel the humbling of their hearts, that feeling of nothingness and worthlessness, to become the least of the saints, but, O Lord, to be a saint, to be washed in that blood of Christ Jesus, to be a burden bearer for one another's needs, to be that constant wrestler at the throne of grace. O Lord, do remember us, for our needs are great. And Lord, we ask for a rich extension of thy kingdom. We ask for a blessing upon our cause. And we pray, Lord, that thou might especially remember thy servants and our dear brethren, each one where thou hast thrust them into thy vineyard, each place where they preach thy precious gospel. O Lord, they do feel constantly their weakness and poverty. Oh, but where they are weak, thou art strong, and thy grace is sufficient. And thou hast promised to give of thy Spirit, and to help and guide in this preaching of the word, that thou would be with them whithersoever they go. And so, Lord, do prosper that word to thy for thy glory's sake. Do prosper that word, Lord, in the hearts of poor sinners, that even now they might know themselves as sinners and come seeking refuge in Christ. Oh, Lord, do have mercy. Our land, our nation, our those in authority over us. Lord, in this time of great distress, oh, we do pray, Lord, for a spirit of repentance, thy power that might come, and those that might stand up and speak the truth, and be made a means, Lord, of turning us, as Jonah was at the time of old to turn the Ninevites, so that we may be turned, that we may be broken in our hardened hearts, and they might see our folly, our sinfulness, and that thou, Lord, in mercy might remember us. Oh, do help us, Lord, for our need is great. We pray for a blessing upon thy word and those that translate. And Lord, we pray that this word might even now be sent throughout this world, translated in various languages, and made known in the hearts of poor Gentiles. Blessed to the poor Jews, ignorant of the name of Christ Jesus, the wonder of salvation in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, do have mercy. That word, that precious word, that sweet savor of the soul, the direction in life, the wisdom and guidance in our paths of life, the revelation of thy glorious Son and of thy purposes on earth. Oh, Lord, do give us too here in this land, in our homes, that same hunger, hungering and thirsting after thy word. Lord, do remember tonight the poor ones in our midst. Do remember those, Lord, bowed down with troubles and sorrows and afflictions. Oh, Lord, remember the grieving and sorrowing. Remember the troubled spirits and all their anxieties. Oh, Lord, that thou might remember such ones
that thou might incline them to come trembling, and to come confessing, come pleading. O Lord, that they might trust in thee as a counselor, as a physician, as a healer, and may be blessed in all their trials and afflictions. Lord, too, we would not forget to thank thee, and bless thee, humbly now fall down before thy holy countenance, O Lord God, for thy great mercy, for thy rich favors, undeserved, to such a wretched and foolish creature. O gracious God, we would thank thee for the preservation of life and the rich favors this day to our dear son. And Lord, we pray that there may be something left behind. We pray, Lord, that there might be some rich learning and teaching and instruction in it. We pray, Lord, there might be a fervency of spirit, or a steadfastness in walk. O Lord, do have mercy on us, for our need is great. And Lord, we now would thank thee, even tonight again, in the midst of all this calamity and all this distress that we may yet gather, calling upon thy holy name, that the fountain of mercy is open all day, that even tonight again we may return. O Lord, return unto thy footstool. O that we might speak unto thee, beg of thee, Lord, for thy presence, for thy rich favors, thanking thee, O Lord God, for thy blessings, thy undeserved favors. O praising thee, Lord, that thou alone art God, and bringing forth our thanksgiving offerings and humility, and contrition of spirit unto thee who art worthy to be exalted and honored. And though, Lord, we make such poor returns, we would praise thee and acknowledge thee for all thy goodness and kindness. O Heavenly Father, we especially would praise thee for the wonders of redemption, for the glories in Christ Jesus, for thy rich favors manifested upon this earth. O for the peace of the soul, for reconciliation with thyself, and that thine anger is turned away through thy glorious Son, Jesus Christ. O Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for every rich favor, for the heavenly fares, the rich food, the crumbs of mercy for poor sinners, that the poor, the starving, the famished and nourishing souls may be nourished and comforted with that bread from heaven. O the wonders of Jesus, thy glorious Son. O the blessings of Emmanuel, the rich favors brought in, the gifts from thee, O God, salvation, holiness. O that we may walk the ways of salvation, that we might be saved from our sins and washed and cleansed in that precious blood of the Lamb of God, that we might be dressed in a robe that no earthly robe can compare to, its dazzling beauty, its brightness and glories. O Heavenly Father, we praise thee for Calvary, that cross of our beloved Savior, him who endured the shame, despised the shame, for the joy that was set before him. O blessed Jesus, willing to die, willing to suffer, willing to bear the sins of his people, transgressors that they were. And we do praise thee, O Father, for his victory, his conquest, the great captain of our salvation, who hath broken the bands of death and hell, and rose in victorious out of the grave, for it was impossible that the grave should hold him, and he ascended into heaven, our ever-blessed, beloved King, the heavenly King who does prosper and reign in victory. O, the kingdom of righteousness and justice. O, that precious High Priest, who intercedes even now tonight, who hears our prayers and makes them acceptable through his wondrous work. O him who advocates in our behalf, that glorious him, our Savior, who is a propitiation for the whole world. Lord, we thank thee for these sacred truths. We thank thee when we know them, partake of them, find favor in them, rejoice in them through the teachings of thy Holy Spirit. And we do praise thee for these wondrous truths. And now, Lord, as we turn to thy word and beg and plead, O Lord, come down. O send thy Spirit down into our midst, into our souls, that we might be prepared, that we may be able to receive the word in our hearts, and that we might leave this evening hour with a comfort in our soul, the wondrous news of yon lovely man made known unto us. O Lord, do forgive all that we have spoken amiss, and do make up what we fail in asking. We pray all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us continue with singing hymn number 876, verses 1 to 4. 876, verses 1 to 4. When the chosen tribes debated 'gainst their God as hardly treated, and complained their hopes were spilled, God, for murmuring to requite them, fiery serpents sent to bite them, lively type of deadly guilt. 876, 1 to 4.
Thank you.
if you want to need the Lord's help again tonight. I would draw your prayerful attention to John 12, verse 31 and 32. John 12, verses 31 and 32. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We want to speak tonight, beloved friends, continuing on that theme of judgment, truly a time in which we remember the judgments of God. That tonight in this chapter we may discuss the judgment in three ways. First, the judgment of the world, the judgment of Satan, and the judgment upon Jesus Christ. And beloved friends, tonight our thoughts may turn to the cross. May turn to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Tonight that we may reflect on the wondrous work of the dear Savior, the conquests of Jesus Christ. That we may understand the anguish in its tiny portion, the anguish, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he did face his enemies, as he did face the people, his people's enemies, as he did overcome, as he did destroy, but as he too did bear a judgment upon himself that was not his own. I do think of that word, then I restored that which I took not away. Oh, the restoring of the Lord Jesus Christ of his people, the purifying of his people, the washing of his people, the cleansing of his people, and the speaking the words of freedom, acquitting his people of their guilt, acquitting his people of the sentence of death, and removing that sting of guilt, sin, and shame. Beloved friends, the time in which we are now approaching is the time of Jesus' sufferings and Jesus' death, as he does set his face towards Jerusalem to perform that wondrous work of a Redeemer. As we have here in this chapter the mentioning too of the sacred anointing of his precious body by Mary. And as Simon there in his malicious intentions, as he does mock her and as he does deride her, Jesus responds, "Let her alone. For against the day of my burying has she done this wondrous deed." And again, as he begins to teach the people around about him, as he begins to speak of the truths concerning himself, he says in the 23rd verse, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." In the 27th verse we read again, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." The very purpose, beloved friends, of Jesus Christ coming down to earth, of Jesus visiting this place of sin and sorrow and shame and grief, was to conquer sin, to destroy Satan, to suffer, to bleed, and to die, and to bear the judgment of his bride, that she might be holy, spotless, without wrinkle, and any such blemish, and that she might be prepared for the day in which he would take her to himself, to the never-ending eternity. It's all in Calvary. It's all in the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to offer up himself on behalf of his people. It's all in that precious truth of the Lord Jesus Christ's love, his joy, his delight in saving his bride from that state in which she lives, and that state in which she is sunk, and the truths and realities of herself that she is a poor sinner, full of blackness and vileness. The hour has come. The hour has come that the grain of wheat might die. For without dying, Jesus is teaching here in this chapter again, that without dying, the grain of wheat shall bring forth no fruit. But if it should die, if I be lifted up,
thus signifying but by what death he should die. If I be lifted up, I will bear much fruit. I will bear much fruit unto my people. I will be that one who does conquer every enemy, and comfort in every distress. I will be the means of the salvation of my people, and multitudes without number shall be saved through the truce, through the wondrous truce of Calvary. A blessing, beloved friends, if we may know some significant truth, if we may know some precious truth, that we may all be blessed under the theme of the dear dying man, of the groaning, gasping Son of God. And if we may know something of Him who bare the sins of many, that we may be included under that number whom no man can number, a people who have been brought under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the dying Savior. For friends, this is the test. This is what we need to know. The wondrous love of the Redeemer and Calvary's precious truth made known unto our souls. Our first point was, dear friends, the judgment of the world. Now is the judgment of this world come. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men to myself. The judgment of the world. Beloved friends, the dear dying death of Jesus Christ, the cross upon which Jesus Christ was nailed. Whether or no that this is a precious theme, it shall be the judgment against us or the blessing for us. What we think of him, the hymn writer, 1149. This is the test to try both your state and your scheme, for you cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. And Jesus himself, as he so often did, he queried his hearers. He queried his disciples. He questioned them. He examined them. And he asked them, whom think ye I am? What think ye of Christ? What is the value that you put upon Jesus Christ? The person of Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. What think ye of him? Who is Christ? Upon this question, dear friends, hangs your soul and mine. Upon the answer of this question and the knowledge of this cross of Christ is our salvation or our damnation, is the sentence of justice or the sentence, or we would say the acquittal of the soul. The knowledge of Jesus' precious blood shed upon Calvary, as it dripped off as his precious head, as a crown of thorns that adorned his precious head, the King of the Jews. Is he, beloved friends, the king of our soul? Are we subjects of his righteous kingdom? Has he set forth that scepter of righteousness to us and bid us come welcome into his presence? Is he, beloved friends, is he the protector of our soul? Is he the forgiver of our sins? Is he that precious friend, that dear dying friend, who hath made known his love unto us and spoke words of kindness and peace to us? What think we of him, beloved friends, is the question again tonight. We come year after year, dear friends, to Good Friday and to Easter Monday, Easter Sunday. We come to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We come to speak of the precious truths of Christ, of Christ who died, of Christ who suffered, of Christ who bled, of Christ who paid the sins of his church, of Christ whose love was shed abroad in the hearts of a multitude of people. But we preach, dear friends, a personal religion. We preach, beloved friends, a personal knowledge, being known of God and knowing God, knowing the Son of God, knowing the graces of God, knowing the goodness of God, knowing the sternness of God, the strictness of God, knowing the holiness of God, but knowing the favors of God, knowing the tenderness and compassion of God, knowing the teachings of God. Our first point, beloved friends, is the judgment of the world.
You see, there at Calvary comes the judgment upon mankind, whether he is beloved or no, whether he is mine or not, whether we belong to the Jews who reject him. They reject him for he is a stumbling block to their salvation. He's a stumbling block to their righteousness. He's a stumbling block to their religion. And thus the multitude of the Jews disbelieved him. And we find it in our chapter again. The Pharisees consulted together how they might kill him. And further on in this chapter we read, though many saw his miracles, yet they believed not on his name. A judgment came upon them. We read in the Gospel of John chapter 1. He made the world. The world was made by him. He came into the world. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. In another portion of the Gospel we read, his own brethren despised him. His own brethren mocked him and derided him. His own brethren said, will you dare go to Jerusalem? Because the leaders seek to kill thee. Oh, dear friends, there was a judgment upon the Jews that they did not love him. They did not need him. They did not believe in him. Oh, they did not need, friends, one who would be lifted up on high. One who would offer up himself for the sins of a people. They disbelieved that this man, this common carpenter from Nazareth, was the Son of God. And judgment came upon the Jews. And judgment came upon the Gentiles, beloved friends, also concerning this man. For we read in Corinthians that Jesus Christ was foolishness unto the Greek, foolishness unto the Gentile. That Jesus came to bring a people into a heavenly kingdom. That Jesus Christ preached a spiritual necessity. That Jesus Christ insisted that man must be born from above. That this kingdom and the riches of this world, its beauty, its prosperity was nothing worth. And that we could not leave this world with all our riches. And the Gentile people rejected him. Judgment came on the world regarding the theme of a dying Savior. Regarding the theme of Calvary, friends. Oh, shall judgment come upon us? Shall judgment come upon us, beloved friends, concerning the realities of the dear dying man? The blessed Jesus Christ who took upon himself the sins of his people. He bare the sins of many. Has he bore your sins? My sins? Has he bid us welcome into his sacred presence? Has he taught us, beloved friends, the deep necessity of that holy blood of his? Of the wondrous truths of his blood? Of the cleansing power of that blood? Of the sufficiencies of that blood. Of the wholesomeness of that blood. Has he taught us, dear friends, what it is to be saved? By him? By Calvary? Has he brought, with beloved friends, within us a peace in our souls through the wonders of redemption? The rich favors of this dying man? Question for your friends tonight again is, what is our Savior to us? What is the name of Jesus to us? What is the Lord's anointed to us? What is Messiah? Judgment comes into the world through the theme of Calvary. May it be, beloved friends, that we are a people prepared. Oh, may it be that the judgment may pass upon us. That judgment may be taken away from us. I think that we will go to that Romans 5. It speaks of judgment again, friends. It speaks of condemnation. It speaks of sin. Oh, the dreadful effects of Adam's sin. Wherefore as by one, Romans 5 verse 12 especially. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now we have, friends, the sentence of judgment. And I believe in the 16th verse it says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto
justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Oh, dear friends, we need to understand such solemn truths. We need to understand the truths of judgment. Judgment has come into the world. All this, the effects of sin has condemned the world. And judgment shall be passed upon all men to condemnation. Those who never come to love, who never come to plead the name, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who never long to know the precious truth of Calvary's cross and that one particular cross at Calvary, Jesus' cross. Jesus Christ upon the cross. Jesus Christ who alone wrought the blessed effects of salvation through his death, through his shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, we find recorded in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's only judgment. A judgment that shall come in the world. A judgment that shall be passed upon the world. The sentence of death upon all mankind, upon the world, who do not know anything of Jesus Christ crucified. A solemn message again tonight as we live in such a dreadful time. We live in a dark day. We live in a trying and troublesome time. And yet, dear friends, we live in a time in which, we know that judgment has been stayed. We know that judgment may be passed upon another. Tonight again, we may preach Jesus Christ crucified. We may preach that reconciliation for poor sinners with God. We may preach a way in which judgment may be passed from us and salvation granted to us. But beloved friends, it can be in no other place and by no other means than Jesus Christ crucified. We cannot find no peace with God. We cannot find an escape from the judgments of God, the sentence of God, the strict justice of God, the holy purity of God, in any other place, in any other way, or any other means than Jesus Christ crucified. We preach the vital necessity of knowing yon lovely man, knowing the truth of the forgiveness of sins, knowing the truth of the blessedness of a union with God, of that peace with that God who has threatened, who has demanded holiness and demanded justice from us. Judgment shall come upon the unbelieving world, friend, Jew and Gentile alike. Shall it come upon us as well? The judgment of the world. Now is the judgment of the world come. It all centers on Calvary. On the work at Calvary of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says, Now it shall be determined how a man shall be freed or how a man shall be judged. Now it shall be determined, beloved friends, how a man shall escape the sentence of death and shall be escaped. That place of ever and never ending torment. Now is the time come. He says also in that second point, now is the prince of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Oh, what a precious truth. That we may come to Calvary time after time to know that Satan has been destroyed. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now this prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. What a sacred truth. What a wondrous theme to a poor dying sinner, to a trembling sinner, to a troubled sinner, to an affected sinner, an infected sinner, by Satan in his fiery darts. One tormented by the assaults of Satan, troubled by the insinuations of Satan, that we might see, that we might read, that we might believe, that we might embrace this precious truth, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Calvary. The wondrous truth of that dear dying God-man. The power of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus, the holiness of Jesus in destroying Satan. We, beloved friends, find much comfort in reading the Word of God. In a text like we have tonight, you know, that though Satan attacks, though Satan incessantly assaults, though Satan beats down to the ground, though we fall as smitten by him in his temptations, I believe it's in Micah, "Oh, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall," oh, how many times we have fallen, how many times we have been afflicted by his fiery darts, how many times we have been poisoned by his terrible temptations. Oh, to know that adversary of the soul, to have him as an adversary of the soul, to fear him. Oh, to know the damage that he can cause, the destruction that he can wreak in our souls. And then to find tonight the words of Jesus and the theme of Calvary, "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Oh, to read, friend, in the prophecy, in the fulfillment of God's own very words in Genesis chapter 3. "And it," that is that Holy One that shall be born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit and brought by the power of God into this world, "it shall bruise thy head." Oh, Jesus Christ shall come to crush, to destroy him who is a great adversary of the Christian soul. The trying and troubled enemy, the adversary, the roaring lion. And to know that in Calvary's cross, where Jesus Christ allowed himself to be nailed there and lifted up between heaven and earth, that was a means of Satan's being destroyed, utterly destroyed. Oh, he shall harass, he shall perplex, he shall bring to very, very low places. He shall seem to gain the upper hand. Oh, he shall wield his sword and seem to destroy. But he has been crushed. It, that is Jesus, shall bruise thy head. Psalm 68, the blessed Psalms, the Psalms sung concerning the victories of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 68, 18, "He hath led captivity captive." Oh, those that hold the soul captive, sin, Satan, and all manner of temptations in the world. "He hath ascended in high, led captivity captive." Oh, dear friends, we find again the sweet conquests of Jesus Christ. Satan bound in chains. Satan held by the Lord Jesus Christ there on Calvary. The wondrous freedom of the soul. Though Satan will perplex and though Satan will seek to destroy, it is King Jesus who has wrought the victory. Is that not, beloved friends, a sacred truth? Is that not a humbling a theme for our souls? Oh, do we thank Jesus for such a victory? Oh, friends, do we know those assaults of that evil one? Oh, are we adorned with the armory of Jesus Christ, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness to protect the soul, the helmet of salvation to protect the understanding, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, oh, to fight against him as Jesus did fight? It is written, Satan. It is written in the Word of God. Oh, the precious truth, the precious defense, the precious armory of the soul against Satan's assaults. Jesus Christ crucified. Is he your defense? Is he, beloved friends, the joy and rejoicing of the soul? Is he the reason we praise God? The wonders of Christ's visit to earth. The power of our dear Savior. "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall yet arise. For Jesus Christ is my victor." Jesus Christ is my conqueror. Jesus Christ is my defender. Jesus Christ has destroyed the power of Satan. Zechariah. In the book of Zechariah we find recorded, beloved friends, the defense of the child of God. We find his argument, her argument, in the presence of Satan. The Lord God rebuke thee, O Satan. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Oh, what a sacred truth, dear friends. and tried in troublesome times. What a wondrous truth that judgment has been passed upon Satan himself. That Satan is now bound in chains, that Satan can do no more than the word of God allows. Touch not his soul. Oh, the commandment of God, the authority of God, the sovereignty of God in dealing with his children. Your friends, do we fear Satan? Do we fear his wiles, his temptations? Oh, has he tried and troubled and harassed us? Has he perplexed us and cast us down? Has he brought against us his fiery indignation? And has he accused us, as he did to Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, of treason? Oh, what a mercy if the grace of God has attended our path. Oh, what a mercy, beloved friends, of the Lord's power, known of God. And because we're known of God, the power of God has attended our life and made us flee the city of destruction, made us flee the habitation of Satan, the prince of this world. Oh, friends, is he still a prince in your soul? Oh, is he still the one in whom you serve and worship and obey? Oh, friends, is he more power in you than Christ does? More power in you than the words of God do. Go back to paradise. Go back to the dreadful effects of Adam and Eve's sin. Romans 5 speaks of that. Therefore, by the offense of one, condemnation came upon the whole world. And condemnation and the curse and death and hell came upon the whole world. And when Adam fell, and when we fell in Adam, we began to bear, beloved friends, the resemblance, the similitude of Satan. Of who Satan is, the author of sin. Satan was the author of sin, but we became the sinners. Dear friends, whether it is a very offensive to us or not, we actually love Satan. Because of the fall in Adam, we actually love Satan. Oh, we do need to be known of God. And we need the power of God to open up our eyes to see this dreadful state we're in. We need to mourn our existence. We need to cry to God for mercy. We need to beg to him, oh, that Satan may be banished out of our hearts. And that our souls may be protected from him through Christ Jesus. Oh, that we may come beggars, friends, at the throne of grace, for it is a throne of grace. It's a God of mercy and a God of kindness and compassion. Oh, that we may be inclined even tonight to begin to say, Lord, Lord, cast out this one that dwells in the unregenerate. Cast out him who has such power. Oh, whose fiery darts poison the soul. Destroy the soul with all manner of suggestions. Oh, that we might have Christ reign in our hearts. Christ cleanse our hearts. Christ purify our thoughts. Christ maintain our way. And Christ defend us from him. Oh, his power is such. His snares are such. We'll be destroyed by him, friends. We will all be destroyed by him. But we may thank God that tonight, oh, we might see that judgment has been passed on him. The wonders of Calvary are that Jesus destroyed him through weakness, through sufferings, through death, through seeming failure, through seeming disappointment, through seeming conquest of Satan. Satan destroyed himself. Jesus Christ led to Calvary was a means by which Jesus would destroy Satan. That holy, holy child of God, that holy, holy Lamb of God, that dear suffering Savior, that perfect atonement, that blessed sacrifice there lifted up between heaven and earth, dear friends, was how Satan was destroyed. Holiness brought in, obedience brought in, perfection brought in, satisfaction brought in, justice satisfied. All the blessings of Calvary and the judgment passed upon Satan. Oh, friends, do we fear him? And mercy, if we may love Jesus Christ, for the defense against him who to certain people has become an adversary, who has become an enemy, who has become the evil one.
And when they see in themselves so much, oh, so much, that is so much still like him, so much, oh, that they do not so much as even trust themselves. It is to Jesus the eye is directed. Lift thine eye up on high and behold him. Not just that wondrous death of Christ, not just the conquest wrought in Jesus Christ, not only the victory at Calvary, but him who died, him who rose up out of the grave, and him who ascended into heaven and forever and ever makes intercession for his people. Oh, a blessing, friends. He's ascended on high and led captivity captive, Satan bound in chains. Is that, dear friends, a certain relief to our souls? Is that a sacred comfort to our troubled souls, our oppressed souls, our afflicted souls? It is to mine that the Lord Jesus Christ has passed the judgment on Christ, passed the judgment of Satan, cast out. No more power to destroy. Oh, a power to afflict, a power to harass, a power to plague, a power to tempt, but not a power to destroy. Cast out. A judgment passed upon him by Jesus Christ. But now, beloved friends, we want to speak something of Jesus too. We want to speak, beloved friends, of the wonders of the cross of Christ. That there on Calvary, judgment was passed on Jesus. There at Calvary, dear friends, the Holy One became the sufferer for sin. There on Calvary, oh, the debts that were others were laid on him. Has that judgment, friends, of your own soul been passed on him? We want to speak of certain things. We want to speak of first, we want to speak of sin. When we bring in the thought of sin, when we bring in the subject of sin, when we bring in the contemplations of sin and what sin has done, then, dear friends, we will begin to value Calvary. That peculiar or that special, specific cross, that cross of Christ. Not just Calvary, but Jesus Christ at Calvary. The wonders of him who went up to that up that mountain and bore the sins of his people. Because of sin. And then when we think of sin, then we think of death. For as by the sin of one man, death was brought into the world, and sin was brought into the world, and death by sin. That's what we read in Romans 5, verse 12. Then when we think, dear friends, of death, we also think, and the cross, and sin, we think of a curse. The curse on mankind. The obligation to live a holy life. And he who does one sin is cursed. Think of that. Cursed, estranged from God, separated from God, alienated from God. And the sentence of death and the sentence of curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed. And then we think, and you can go to Galatians 4 or Galatians 3. Because it speaks of these curses there in Galatians chapter 3. And it says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It's bringing in, dear friends, our curse and the curse of Christ. Curse, Christ hung on that tree. That he might bear the curse of a sinful people. Because judgment was passed on Jesus Christ on a people that were cursed. Do you feel curse? Do we feel the curse in our soul? Do we feel that separation from God? Do we feel, dear friends, the necessity of being saved? Does it press in us an anguish in the soul? Does it put in us an urgent need? Does it set in our mouths, dear friends, cries and wrestlings at the throne of grace and mercy? Pleading for mercy, pleading for favor, pleading for a restitution of our soul, a restoration of our soul. Does it bring an urgent necessity that we might be forgiven, that we might be prepared for the sickle of death, that we might be prepared to face the judgment seat and the one who passes a righteous judgment? Paradise. The dreadful effects of Adam and Eve's transgression in paradise brought in, friends, a curse. And the only way that that curse can be removed is by the cross of Christ. The judgment
of the curse, the judgment of condemnation, the judgment of a soul being cast rightfully into hell, that judgment on that soul must be passed on another, or borne by that same person. Do you understand that? Have you felt the reality of that? I must die. I shall die. But can I die? There's no man. You go to Romans chapter 1, 2 and 3. There is no man that hath not sinned. The word of God, the law of God, pronounces every man cursed, and every man guilty, and every man subject to judgment. The only escape for us, dear friends, is on Jesus Christ dying for us. That sacred, that beautiful, and precious prophecy of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53. And he bare the sins of many, wounded and bruised for our transgressions. Oh, he bore our sorrows and carried our griefs. Calvary. Jesus at Calvary. Judgment passed upon Jesus for us, that we might go free. Do we know that freedom, dear friends, of judgment passed on Jesus Christ? Has he become that scapegoat? All the sins laid upon him. All our sins laid upon him. That we might go free. That there might be no condemnation. That we might receive eternal life. Remember, friends, we go back to paradise again. We see the tree of life. But we see the cherubims in front of it with flaming swords. Protecting the tree of life, that no man should ever, ever partake of that fruit again. The fruit, dear friends, of eternal life now lies on the tree at Calvary. The fruit is his blood. The fruit is, dear friends, his precious righteousness. And the means is that judgment might be passed on Christ. Do we know that liberty? Stand fast, therefore, in that liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not again plunged into that yoke of bondage. Do you know, friends, that liberty? Do you know that acquittal of the soul? Loose him and let him go. I have died for him. Oh, do you know, friends, such a word of Jesus Christ? For judgment was truly passed on Jesus Christ that others may go free. Well, friends, we preach this so many times. This is something that we need to know powerfully in our souls. Oh, this is something, beloved friends, that we must know in our hearts of a reality. The death of Christ for me. Not just in the justification, not just in the removal of sin, but all through our life, over and over, the necessity of that dear dying man. The necessity of him who hung between heaven and earth, that I may draw all men to myself. And friends, don't deceive ourselves. I know there's many ignorant ones. And yes, they're sadly ignorant fools who believe that all means the whole world. Go back to Isaiah 53, he bare the sins of many. Well, this is just the excuse of the foolish. As if Jesus Christ paid for the sins of the whole world. And now God is waiting for us rebels and us wretched creatures to come to him. Oh, we do preach, dear friends, knowing of God. And we do preach election by God. Called by God, drawn by God, encouraged by God, enticed by God, constrained by God. God doesn't wait for you, and God doesn't wait for me, and God doesn't wait for anyone. God draws. God melts. God constrains. God fills with his love, or he fills with the power of his law, and he inclines souls to come by his power, by his love, and by his mercy. And I, if I be lifted up between heaven and earth, I will draw all my people, all my children, all my people from the four corners of this earth,
from all kindreds, from all people, from all nations, from all tribes, and from all tongues. I will call my people small, and I will call my people great. I will call my babes, and I will call my strong ones. I will draw all to myself. I will draw sinners, beloved friends, to my precious cross. I will draw them to the theme of me dying for them, the necessity of me dying for them, the sacredness of me dying for them, the sufficiency of me dying for them, the beauty of me dying for them. Oh, they shall weep at my cross for the sins that they have done to me. Like the hymn writer says, they shall weep for him or for what they have done to him, or for that love that he has shed to them. The soldiers pierced him through and through. That's true, but we, the soldiers pierced him, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. And the Lord's people, dear friends, will be drawn by the deep necessity of their souls, and they will come creeping, and they will come crawling, and they will come confessing their sins, and they will lay at that cross and bless God for his gift, his dear son, the means of their salvation, the means of the passing of the sentence of the curse, the means of escaping the judgments due upon their souls, the means by which the wrath of God is passed by them and the smile of God comes instead of the frown. He will draw us to himself. And I, if I be lifted up between heaven and earth, I will draw men to myself. I will draw all. If you notice, men is in italics. I will draw all to myself. Oh, to be drawn, dear friends, to Jesus Christ, there can be no more blessed and precious place for us to be drawn. There can be no more sacred place than that place where God has condemned his own son. For you, for me, for our sins. Where God has planted the sentence of death on him and given us the sentence of eternal life. It's at Calvary, friends. To be drawn there through the precious themes of the dear dying man. Have you felt, dear friends, being drawn to him? It goes back to John 6. Knowing of God, whom the Father giveth unto me, none cometh unto me, save the Father draw. Oh, it's a mercy when we feel an irresistible drawing of the soul to the feet of Christ to plead the necessity of the forgiveness of sins. Oh, the seasons are so sweet, dear friends, when we feel an irresistible drawing of that power of God to seek the presence of Christ and to know the power of his blood. Jesus says, I will. For Jesus, beloved friends, is the eternal Son of God. In him is vested all the power of God. In him is vested all the sovereign right of God. In him, beloved friends, lie the eternal shells and wills of the invincible great I am that I am. And it may be tonight there may be those who are yet resisting him, fighting against him, who will not have this man to rule, to reign, and to dwell within them. But Jesus says of such ones, rebellious, I will. I will draw you. I will bring you to my feet. I will bring you like that woman in the room of Simon the leper. I'll bring you there. I'll bring you in the same way, in the same shape, in the same features. A weeping, mourning soul. I will break your hardened heart. I will break your rebellious spirit. I will break your obstinacy. I will break your peevishness and your perverseness. Because I am the great I am. I am the Lord Jehovah Jesus. I will draw all my people, whatever character they may have, whatever feelings they may possess, whatever rebellion they might have, whatever resisting they might have. Friends, we have no power against God. We do thank him for that. I will draw all to myself. Oh, do we know something, friends, of this sweet persuasion? Or this powerful persuasion?
the hand of God, the unity of the Holy Trinity, and the we would say the irresistible work of God, the unity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in persuading souls to come, to persuade them of the urgency, to persuade them of the necessity, to persuade them of their own vileness, or to persuade them of the sweetness of Christ, of the encouragement of Christ, of the compassion of Christ, of the sufficiencies of Christ. In whatever way, whatever means, for the Lord is not bound by his ways. Oh, the Lord works in every child differently. There's no two the same. But what is the same is, I will draw them all. I will bring every one of my people to know the precious truth of the dear Son of God. I will make them to know my loving kindness. I will make them to know my sufficiencies. I will make them know the pureness of my blood and the wholesomeness where their diseases are taken away. I will heal them of their diseases and their sicknesses and their transgressions and their sins. I will remember no more. Calvary, friends. The sweet blessings of Calvary. I'm pure, I'm holy and spotless, not in self, but the wonders of my dear dying Savior and the application of Christ to me. Oh, to be drawn to Jesus in such a sense. And you know the wondrous truth of that dear dying man. Have we seen him by faith? There's no sight like Jesus. There's no more mounting sight in the presence of Jesus. There's a more comforting sight in the presence of Jesus in our greatest distresses. Oh, there's no more wonderful word than Jesus who bids Satan gone. Friends, that's why the Lord's people fall in love with Jesus. Because he draws them to himself. They never come to him. They're like Peter. All we are like sheep. We've wandered astray. Psalm 119 says the same thing. A wandering people. That's all the Lord's people are. That's all they'll ever be. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. The Lord draws. He draws out of the wilderness. He draws out of the world. He draws out of selfishness. He draws out of every place in his people. He draws them to his feet. A mercy, friends. Oh, what a mercy if we are being drawn. If we are being inclined by the sweet power of the gospel. By the thunderings of the law, let the Lord deal with us, friends, as he will. Oh, let him work by his law, or let him work by his love. But oh, that he may draw us all together to the feet of Jesus Christ to confess our sins and to know the wondrous love of the dear dying man. Oh, may the Lord remember us. Time is up again. Oh, may the Lord bless us, dear friends, with the sacredness of this truth, that judgment may be passed upon Jesus. For friends, if the judgment of us is not passed on Jesus, we must bear it. We must bear the wrath of God for our sins and for the debt of that we have accumulated. The debt of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through that righteousness in Jesus Christ. May we know something, friends, of being drawn to Jesus. May we know something of the sweetness of Jesus and the preciousness of our Lord at Calvary. We're speaking of the day of a hope. Oh, friends, a good hope. A well-founded hope is to know him. Is to rest in him. Is to believe in him and to taste of the wonders of Calvary from him. That's what we need to know. The hope of eternal life comes again in him who was lifted up between heaven and earth. There's no other way to get to heaven. Do not rest in any flimsy hope, in any poorly conceived hope, in any imagined hope. May, dear friend, your hope and mine be cast within the veil, cast upon the person of Christ, and moved through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and being drawn to him. Today, to be at a distance, friends,
is not enough. We need to be drawn into his presence. We need to be constrained to walk in his ways. We need to be humbled in our souls. We need to be taught the precious truths of our wretchedness, our sinfulness, and the wholesomeness in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That's where we need to be. And that's who we need to fall in love with. That's who we need to depend on in every skirmish with Satan, in every battle, in every conflict, in every temptation. And the moment we take our eyes off him, and the moment that we fail to trust in him, we will be plunged into darkness, into desertion, into doubts, into awful, despairing places. Oh, what solemn teachings there are to be known of God. And friends, when we are known of God, then we believe we will know something of our text words tonight. Jesus Christ crucified for me. So may the Lord bless us in this time state, beloved friends, with the knowledge of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and the judgment, the condemnation, the sentence of death, and the curse laid upon him, and satisfied by his heavenly Father on Calvary. There is your and my escape. There is our blessing. There is the health, the peace, and prosperity of our souls. May the Lord bless this few words to our never-dying souls, to the comfort of our souls, to the edifying of our souls, to the joy of our souls, and to the glory of the Most High God in Jesus Christ. He said, glorify thy Son. And so may we truly glorify him, the Father, Son, and that blessed Spirit in the work of salvation and being drawn to Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us now sing 876 verses 5 and 6. 876 verses 5 and 6. Thine's a last, a lost condition. Works cannot work thee remission, nor thy goodness do thee good. Death's within thee, all about thee, but the remedies without thee, see it in thy Savior's blood. 876, 5 and 6. dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss in our gathering together this day. O Lord, that thou might go with us out the doors of this house of prayer. Lord, who knows what this week, what awaits us in this unknown week. But, O Lord, that thou would draw thy hands around us. O Lord, speak a word of comfort unto us. Bid us truly look, Lord, unto him. O thy glorious Son of the cross. Lord, that we may look and live. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Close with singing hymn 459.